Hello and welcome to the Everything With Val podcast, where we talk about life, current events, and travel. Today we will talk about burnout. Burnout, as it's sort of generally described, is a reaction to prolonged chronic job stress and is characterized by three main dimensions: exhaustion, cynicism, and feelings of reduced professional ability. A lot of people are asked, a lot of themselves, whether they're, you know, entrepreneurs or working for someone. However, a lot of people, as we say here in Sweden, hit the wall. Just like today, I have actually found out that one of my sort of people in my close network has actually in the weekend hit the wall as well, which was extremely alarming. However, I myself have not heard a lot of discussion around the meaning of it, but even more importantly, someone saying how to prevent it and give you advice to prolong your journey in what you are doing. Joining me today to discuss this vital topic is Dr. Kate Steiner. Welcome, Dr. Kate. How are you?
Thank you, Val. I'm so excited to be here. So thank you so much for asking me to share this message with you and your audience.
Absolutely. And please take some time to just introduce yourself, you know, where you're from and everything, so everyone can get to know more about you.
Absolutely. So hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Kate Steiner. I am a burnout recovery coach and have been researching burnout and wellness for a number of years, and really am just on a mission to help those who are experiencing feelings of burnout to find recovery through identifying and preparing for burn events through a self-reflective wellness process. I grew up in Wyoming in the United States, and I now live in Virginia. So loving kind of the mountain area, which is one of my happy places, and have also worked in higher education for a fairly long time.
Amazing. And to just get straight into it, so obviously burnout is a very serious discussion and it's becoming more and more relevant in today's society, especially maybe in a professional academic setting. So for you to get to know more about this, you've experienced it yourself personally. Could you tell us more about your personal journey with burnout?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks so much for that question.
Yeah.
So my personal journey with burnout really started about, my recognition of burnout started about 6 years ago. So I was working in my field in higher education. I was a part in my PhD program. I was in a really unhealthy relationship at the same time. And I look back at that and I really refer to that time in my life as being the absolute worst version of myself. I just wasn't myself. I wasn't a happy person. I wasn't a joyful person. I had lost engagement in wanting to play and have playfulness with others. I was super short-tempered. I, you know, would become very emotional or sad or hurt at the smallest things. And so I was super reactive emotionally during that time. And one of the things that, and I wasn't recognizing that I wasn't a very kind person to be around. I knew that people had kind of stepped away from me and I felt that, but really didn't recognize that it was because of my own behavior that that was going on. And took some time to really kind of look at that. And there was a moment that I was talking to my mom and I was venting as you do to people who are closest to you. And I was complaining about all the things that had gone wrong in my life and that they were the reason that I was feeling so badly and that I was so angry and hurt. It was my job was stressing me out. It was, you know, the relationship wasn't going well. It was the stress from being in a PhD program and not really recognizing my own self within these actions or what was going on. And I had looked up at my mom and I saw the tears in her eyes and I could see her heart breaking for me in that moment. And that was so hard, but also so impactful because I could see how much someone who cared for me was hurting because I was hurting so much. And so that was a turning point for me. And I realized that I needed support and help to find a space in recovery. And I did that by seeing a professional counselor.
Wow. But at least you had that sort of support system where you could reach out and say, you know, things don't feel so good. Or at least that's what it sounded like when you went to your mom.
But yes.
Interesting. So you But how did you know where to go? Because I feel like when I hear people, at least here in Sweden, I mean, here it's spoken about so much because there's so much sort of emphasis put on mental health or being, you know, mentally well. I mean, it's very difficult. I think the pandemic has caused a lot of things for people to sort of internally reflect. But for example, in South Africa, I mean, now more and more people are starting to discover what burnout is. But when you were going through this, how did you sort of know where to start going to, or how did you start making, as it were, a recovery plan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. So part of it was from my own educational background. So both my master's degree and my PhD are in counselor and counselor education. So being trained as a counselor, I knew the importance of also seeing a counselor and seeking out really just someone who can help you within that journey. And that's what has brought me to being a burnout recovery coach these days, because support is needed in order to find that recovery process. And so that's an important thing. And then figuring out the recovery plan was that one-on-one work with my counselor. But the process I use today with my own clients is what I based my dissertation research on. And so that was a process of interviewing a lot of people in higher education who had gone through burnout and talking to them about how they came out and what they experienced on the other end so that they didn't experience their burnout again. And that led to the process I use today, which first identifies through an observation process, burn events and burnout, then prepares you for those upcoming events, and then initiates that recovery plan, which really includes a lot of self-reflection and self-care pieces. So building upon not just your mental wellness, but also how are you, you know, impacting your physical wellness? How are you engaging in your social wellness, which is that human-to-human connection that we have, which I think is the one that has been most affected by the pandemic in this last year. Your spiritual wellness plays an important role there, as well as your intellectual wellness. So how are you managing your intellectual space, growing and developing your mind more? And so taking all of those things in consideration really kind of developed my own plan in spaces. And so I've put into place daily rituals, self-care practices, and then more bigger kind of recovery moments, whether it be taking a day off of work or going on vacation or just taking some time and space away from the people I work with or the work that I do.
Wow, interesting. And just to sort of branch out on one thing that you just said there, because if I research correctly about you, you also said that you've been working sort of in the academic relating fields for the last 17 years, correct?
Yeah.
Within fraternities, right. Sororities and everything. And one thing I'm always intrigued by, because it's a very heavily debated topic at the moment, is that as each year progresses within academics, whether it's in a master's, a PhD, or even in high school, the pressure also increases on mm-hmm. those people doing those things. Would you agree with that? That
absolutely.
Also leads to burnout.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so you have to find different ways of managing that, the stress and the burn events that come along with that. So the reason why this process is so self-reflective is that it is something that continues throughout your life. It really is a developmental process to really think about what your preparation and recovery looks like, because it's going to change as your life changes. So some things that you may have implemented for self-care so for example, for me, some of the things that I did in my mid-20s or late 20s or early 30s don't work the same way that they do, that they would now that I'm in my 40s. So that has had to change, as well as my life has changed. So I now have a partner. So some of my self-care involves him. When I was single, it was more about just kind of myself and my own journey.
Yeah. And on that journey, I'm sure that it was like a lot of give and take. As someone who suffers from anxiety, I know that, you know, they say every single day is an opportunity to obviously get out of your comfort zone and, mm-hmm. you know, be on the path of recovery. But for you, when did you start actually feeling like you were really on that way and feeling almost recovered? What did that sort of feel like?
Yeah, you know, I really started to have a greater sense of peace maybe after seeing my counselor a couple of times, and there were some changes in life that came along with that, I realized that I had to let go of this unhealthy relationship that I was in. And that had a huge impact on just my overall well-being, because I was no longer putting energy into a relationship that was really hard and, just not healthy for me in that aspect. So letting that go allowed a lot of freedom of space in my mind and my energy and the capacity to care for others. So I felt a great sense of peace with that. And then I would say that I really, came into more of a recovery space by working with my counselor. It was probably a couple of months really focusing on that recovery space. And now for my own personal self, I really focus on, okay, what can I identify that's coming up in my world that is going to cause me overwhelm or fatigue or emotionally drain me? How do I prepare for those moments? And what kind of plan do I have in place for recovery after those time and spaces happen? So always thinking ahead of what I can identify that is going to bring those burnout feelings to me, and then figuring out, okay, is there a way that I can not necessarily avoid the feelings, but just prepare for them so that I can recognize them in the moment? And then what plan do I have in place for myself to recover as soon as that moment passes?
Oh, wow. So it seems like through this journey, you become extremely self-aware, not only to know like what you need to do, but also to how to structure and organize to, as you were saying, really prepare for those moments. And one thing that it makes me sort of wonder is, how did you know that you wanted to get into your current profession and actually help people also in their burnout recovery or sort of burnout journey?
Yeah, I love that question, because really, I want to ensure and help people. I want to make sure that no one has the same experience that I did in becoming their worst version of themselves. I really want to help people to grow and become and daily strive to be the best version of themselves, whatever that looks like in that day. And it varies from day to day. And so getting this message out there, working with individuals through their burnout recovery, helping them come back if they happen to have stepped into that space of feeling as though they weren't the best version of themselves, and then helping them find that self-reflective path so that they can end that cycle with burnout.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that it is hard for a lot of people when they don't know what to really look for.
Yes.
They don't really understand it, and they're, I was talking about this on another episode, but I think like some can also manifest onto others. Oh, you shouldn't be feeling this way. Like, my job is more stressful than yours. It's always this competition of I can face more stress than you. And I think in various aspects that can be true, but a lot of people for their own self journey can find their own heavy weighted demands. So if you're a librarian, it can be demanding because you're serving your community in it, for an example. I mean, you were working in academics and that's extremely demanding. So I think if we continue on and then sort of focus on understanding this really complex idea, you mentioned something earlier about burn events. How would you sort of define or describe burn events?
Yeah, so burn events are things that happen in our day-to-day life. So it can be anything from a meeting with a difficult colleague to something popping up on your calendar unexpectedly. But these are moments or events or activities in our lives that lead us to feel overwhelmed, emotionally drained, or fatigued. And they don't quite rise up to the level of burnout, and you can generally identify them. So expected burn events are those that we can look at our calendar and see that they're coming up. So it might be a really busy work week. It may be, a week where you have a heavy lift when it comes to being with your family. It might be vacation or travel for some folks. It might be attending a conference for some folks. And so lots of different ways. And then there are the unexpected events. And these are the things that kind of pop up and throw our day off. So it could be an unexpected meeting. It could be news that we weren't expecting, but it still leads to those kind of same feelings of feeling that emotional drain. So these events, when they are left unaddressed and we don't recover from them as they happen or quickly after they happen, they can compound upon each other and snowball into burnout, which, as you mentioned before, kind of those key pieces, that cynicism, those kind of things. But what people may feel in those instances is they look at their work and they feel as though it's a burden to them. It's something that brought them joy no longer brings them joy. Or they feel as though their work or things happening in their life are unmanageable. Those are the key feelings and what people experience when they're experiencing burnout.
Yeah, interesting that you say that, because I think that now that you've said it, I can definitely identify those in my own like everyday life. Like sometimes if it's a very heavy week and I know that it's coming up, I want to avoid it like never before. I think that we can all identify those. And I think like it's also sort of that heavy expectation as well. One of the things that you just mentioned that was so sort of profound for me is when you said maybe it's a lot of family time. I think some burn events could be, for example, the holidays for a lot of people, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I definitely think that could be definitely one, because I've heard that from people in my social circle that that is definitely that gives them a lot of not only stress, but a lot of drain. They feel very withdrawn and not really present as much as they would want it to be. And maybe it's that expectation, you know, you got to have an amazing time. There has to be so much happiness. And I think that can be very overwhelming for a lot of people. But then if we now step back and then say, if someone is reflecting and feeling like I need help, but I don't really know what to do or at which point they should seek help, what would you advise?
Yeah, so I would say definitely seek out assistance if you can, if you're recognizing it all before you hit that burnout level. So that piece where you're starting to feel as though things are a burden or they are completely unmanageable. But if you get into that space, then I think it's important to take that courageous step to ask for help. And I, you know, often I think that that is one of the hardest things for us to do as humans is asking for that help and assistance. But this is really a journey that you will get further and it will happen quicker if you have a supportive person by your side to help you name some of these things and to help you figure out what your recovery process looks like.
Absolutely. I think it definitely makes it a lot easier to have someone either with you, and that doesn't need to be family members. I know a lot of people think that, you know, it has to be someone in family. It can be a friend. It can even be a colleague.
Yes, I mean, absolutely.
Potentially, it can even just be a really kind stranger that just sits with you and it's like, how is everything? I'm not sure about you. I always love watching those videos of where it's like kindness from a stranger. I think they're so heartwarming.
Yes, they are.
But I think one thing that you have really mentioned is all of these keys of someone that should be quite self-aware. And you've definitely expressed this in the beginning of the episode, but how do you also advise people to become better? Because I think for me, when people ask, you know, how have you sort of developed your self-awareness? I always say, I try and find moments of stillness where I can reflect. Is this making me happy? Am I still getting purpose out of what I'm doing with, you know, for example, my work or maybe one of my hobbies, and just trying to really reflect on those things. But what would you say from your perspective is ways that people can develop in their self-awareness to actually see if they're struggling?
I mean, I think what you brought up is a great way of starting that self-reflective process. It's really allowing yourself some space. And it may not be every day, but maybe you start with once a week and looking back at your calendar and thinking, okay, what brought me fatigue? What emotionally drained me? Is that something that is coming up again in the future that I can approach differently? So one of the things that I have actually implemented this year to do a little more in my own self-reflection is a morning journal process. And so I start each morning with no prompt really, but just some free writing, and I call it a mood check. And it's really just to get off whatever I'm thinking or whatever thoughts I woke up with or feelings that I woke up with in the morning, and I just free write for as long as I need to. And then I end with a couple of statements of gratitude. So some gratitude or thanks for someone around me. I always give gratitude and thanks for something I've done or for myself, because I think that's an important piece that we miss out sometimes. We're so thankful for others, but we forget that we're also a big part of our own journey, and we need to be grateful for the space that we hold as well. And then I'll do a process called future gratitude, which is thinking about something that I'd like to have happen in the future or something that ties to a goal of mine, and just writing about the feeling of gratitude and excitement that I have as though it's happening in the moment. And that's an opportunity for some self-reflection piece. But I think the biggest thing is starting to give yourself some time, whether that be monthly, weekly, daily, to think back and reflect, okay, what were some of the things that I experienced in this last month, this last week, today, that I want to look at differently in the future?
Absolutely. I really love what you just said, because I actually did the same thing. So every morning, or at least once a day, I'll sit down and journal. And just like, I think a lot of people, when they think of journaling, it's that, you know, the traditional Dear Diary, like that sort of framework. But I just really I think what you were saying earlier, I really wanted to touch upon that. And I read more about this. I'm not sure if you've read the book yet. I highly recommend, but it's called Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty. And
I've had it recommended to me. I haven't picked it up yet, but it's definitely on my list.
It's amazing, because one of the big things that he talks about to allow yourself to find stillness and calmness is detachment. Mm-hmm. And for me, journaling is that way that I can detach. I mean, you've said it as well, burn events and sort of these insane or frustration moments. It allows me to detach from those moments that, I mean, we can all agree don't actually really matter. It's inconsequential, you know, someone ran late or something that just won't really affect you a year, 5 years, 10 years down the line, that we just need to leave some frustration somewhere. So I definitely think, and then I also do the gratitude. But one thing that I also really like to do as well, whether it's in my journey with anxiety or with whatever I'm doing, is also take some time to celebrate the big wins and the small wins.
Yes, so maybe it's I love that.
Little step in progression of something that I'm trying to conquer or get over. I write it down. And then there's always those moments where, you know, when you're journeying, you also want to know when it's going really well and you're happy. What were you doing? What were you listening to? Maybe it's what you were reading. So when you're going through maybe a little bit of a dip, you can go back and read and see, I was doing this. Maybe I was, you know, eating these types of food or doing these types of activity, to kind of give you that sense of direction. You know, if I try that again, and you can sort of figure out that path for yourself along the way. So I really like that one. But I think I mentioned it earlier as well, but how would you advise, on a sort of more international scope, people who are living, you know, in a different culture where burnout isn't really a thing? I know that, for example, in South Africa, and also I'm half Belgian as well, so a lot of people, which may frustrate you, it definitely does for me, say that, you know, people use the word burnout to categorize when they just want to take time off and get paid for it. It's that enablement of being a bit lazier, where they don't have to work, they can still get paid for it and take the burnout time off. So how would you recommend, when people are living in sort of these situations, how they can go about that? Still going to seek out that help, but still trying to really, you know, get back on their recovery path and go back to doing what they love?
Yeah, I would go back to the identification of like what you're experiencing when it comes to burnout. And maybe it's not using the word burnout if that, you know, creates kind of that tension in regard to some people misusing that the intent of that burnout time and those kinds of things. So really thinking about reflecting on, okay, how am I feeling in this moment, or when I find challenges in my life, am I feeling as though things are a burden? Am I feeling as though it's unmanageable? And what are ways that I can address that? Do I need some assistance to look at that? in that piece, I think that that's important to just shift or reframe that, and maybe not using the term burnout, but thinking more so, what is causing me to feel emotionally drained? And is that something I can address, or is it something that I need to address my reaction to?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would still like sort of double tap what you were saying earlier. Also, finding those people who really support you, I could only assume helps.
Absolutely.
Maybe your community as a whole isn't as educated in these areas, but I'm sure that if you have someone that you've identified as very supportive, can just take the time to listen and maybe, you know, research with you, or just, you know, be that ear that you can sort of talk to and shoulder to lean on. So definitely, I would say from my perspective, maybe that would be. But I also just wanted to also ask your opinion on another very big one. You were mentioning travel before. For a lot of people, travel is, you know, this leisure sort of experience that you want to go on. But also it can be a sort of symptom of burnout, or sort of a cause of burnout, sorry, shall I say. Would you agree with that? I know that some solo travelers have also really experienced that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a lot when it comes to travel. So there are, we can easily have circumstances and instances where we don't have control over the things that are happening around us when it comes to travel. And that can definitely cause stress and overwhelm for people as they're traveling. And I use travel as part of my recovery. So, but I also have to recognize that if I'm traveling someplace and it's by plane or even by car or something to that effect, and something happens that is beyond my control, I really kind of have to take a moment to remind myself, it's like, okay, I cannot control the weather and the fact that it is affecting the flight pattern and we're now delayed. But I can impact and adjust how I'm reacting in this moment, and finding some space, maybe doing some deep breathing, maybe doing some grounding exercises so that I can calm my stress and anxiety so that I'm not feeling quite so impacted by the adjustment or change within that moment. And so I think thinking about it in that way, and preparing as best as you can in regard to your general wellness, is important when you're considering travel.
Oh, absolutely. As someone who's actually pretty petrified of flying, and I've flown a lot, it's, yeah, for me, it's definitely one of those things I kind of just prepare. I think sometimes we can all wish that we had a bit more control of certain things, you know, if it's something that we're scared of, or we just wish it went a little bit easier. I think in those moments we're like, oh, why couldn't I just be a weatherman and control all the clouds and make everything be as perfect as possible? But I think, again, it's that detachment sort of mindset that you have to really get into, which is really difficult. I think that it's easier said than done on a lot of accounts.
Absolutely. And I, you know, I look at it as a continued practice for myself, in that it is not something that I would say that I will ever be in perfection with. So it is, you know, it takes some time, and there are moments that I don't catch myself before I really, you know, I kind of go down like the angry spiral or something to that effect. And it takes a moment to be like, oh, I'm getting really angry about this, but I actually have no control in the outcome. So how can I shift and look at this in a different way?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I just want to sort of ask further into is, what would you advise for someone, you know, who's been on a path of sort of, if we're completely looking at prevention and recovery, and has sort of deemed themselves to be on a path of recovery, but then has a setback? What is your, I know that you currently help a lot of people with this, but when they experience setbacks and everything, how do you help them find motivation again, or sort of the will to keep going? Because I think that can almost be as devastating as the first time you're like, shit, I've experienced all of this progression, and now to take a step back, it's like, was that worth it? Was it really working? But sometimes people also associate setbacks as a real sign of progress, that you are going in the right direction. What do you think?
Yeah, so I look at change, and especially change in this recovery space, and in kind of the way that setbacks are actually a natural part of the process. So when we are going through change experiences, we are going to also experiencing moments where we have a setback. But I really like to look at it in regard to, so if you consider kind of a spiral going upward, and you look at the piece where the setback is maybe where the circle comes back around and is a little lower, but you're still well above your starting point. So it's not as so when we think about setbacks, it may be a step back, but you're not falling back to the very start of where you were when you started, when you first started your change process or your recovery process. You're actually still well above that point. And so looking at that piece and thinking, okay, so maybe it was a step back, but how do I grow from that? Is there something that I can learn in this moment? Maybe I do need to look at my recovery differently. Or, okay, so that was a new burn event for me. So when this comes up the next time, I know that I can be prepared for it in a different way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then I think one thing that people always sort of want to look out for. I know that there's no simple solution. I think most people really wish that there would be, you know, maybe a quick fix for a lot of these things. But I think something that is always sort of debated upon is sort of routine, structure. And I truly believe that it actually really helps, especially if, you know, perhaps you have a morning routine and an evening routine, but at least one of them has a routine that either you're waking up, you know, you're not looking at your phone as much, or just getting the day started and really setting the tone of the rest of the day. But for this, do you think that a routine or any of those structures genuinely actually matter?
I do think that routine is really important in this regard. So whether that be a way that you start your day or a way that you unwind from your day, or even a routine or ritual that you have in the middle of the day to really kind of consider taking a step back and addressing whether it be your stress level or your emotional level or your just general burn event level, and implementing just some self-care and having that be a routine each and every day is really important. So it may involve how do you move your body? How do you connect with the world in the larger space? How are you reflecting on your own thoughts and times? But making sure that you have something that you do every day to focus on that piece is an incredibly important piece to the recovery space. And then I also think that it's important to implement things that you can do in a moment's notice. So that is what I refer to as the comfort list. And so these are things that will immediately bring you comfort, a sense of peace, or joy. And you can implement them really quickly within your day. So for example, some of the things that I include in my own comfort list are macaroni and cheese. So a comfort food of some kind.
Love it.
Yes. Chocolate is also very important in my comfort list. A cozy sweater, using, you know, being able to sit next to a fire, a feel-good movie that I can just watch, generally something that I've seen over and over again, or maybe something that is on the Hallmark Channel here in the States that's just feel good, even though you know how it's going to end or how the script might go. But it just brings you a sense of joy. Playing with my dog is another thing that's on my comfort list. So it's important that we keep in mind, same as we would comfort a child who is stressed and overwhelmed, we have to find ways to comfort ourselves when we're feeling stressed and overwhelmed. But it's important that we have this list in place before we feel those feelings so that we can implement it quickly. So we're not also using the energy to come up with those things in the moment. We just know that, like, oh, if I mindfully eat a piece of chocolate, I'm going to feel a little bit better and I might feel my anxiety ease.
Absolutely. And I would assume naturally that in tandem with those things, so let's say if you know, you've woken up, you've done your morning routine, but then you sort of get a bump in your day. Let's say, you know, there was traffic and then it just didn't go your way. You also talked about earlier grounding exercises. Mm-hmm. What are also some grounding exercises that can go in tandem with your comfort list?
Absolutely. So my favorite grounding exercise is the 5-4-3-2-1 method. And this implements all five of our senses. And it is really simple and quick to implement. And so using the space and the things around you, you will name five things you can see, four things you can hear, three things you can feel, two things you can taste. And I am missing the last sense.
Isn't it smell?
Smell. And one thing you can smell. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I implement it so quickly, but then when I explain it, sometimes I'm like, wait, there's a fifth sense there.
Yeah. And I always feel like I think that's more of the sort of well-known one, but some people also switch the senses. I've yes. also seen ones that where it's like three things you can smell, and I'm like, I'm freaking out. I can smell one thing that is my fear, my own fear. Well, how am I going to find three things to smell? So I always find some of them a little bit, I don't know, counterintuitive in the moment.
Sure.
I'm sure it helps, but it's not really right now. But one thing that we didn't really touch upon within this, because I'm not really sure. I know, for example, with anxiety, it helps a lot. Mm-hmm. But in the burnout process or in that recovery model, what about activity? Should people be active, maybe going for walks or a little bit harder in sort of the cardiovascular area of exercise? What does that look like?
Yeah, so that is, I think that's a really important self journey to identify. And so what I work with folks on is, how do you move your body and what does that look like? So it could be the cardiovascular piece. It might be weight training for some people. I really love, I was a dancer growing up. And so I enjoy like bar classes or ballet classes if I can find one to do, or I will just implement a solo dance party and just put some music on and just groove it out. So I think that physical movement is incredibly important for recovery space. And if you can get outside and do that in within nature and get some sunlight or some fresh air, that can be incredibly important too.
I cannot agree more. The reason that I'm a little bit giggling is that when I moved to Sweden, everyone was like, Val, make sure you take time and you get outside into the nature. Almost this like sort of drowning sort of feeling when people keep telling you and you're like, oh, whatever, I'm sure that it's not really working. And then you actually go out and do it and you're like, wow.
You're like, oh yeah, that makes more sense.
It makes so much more sense. Even for, and I think people are like, oh, but I don't have time to go for a 10, like 2 hour walk. Just for 5 minutes.
Just
I
mean, even a couple 2 minutes. Yeah, just yeah. Stepping outside, just outside of whatever building you're in and looking up can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, especially because it almost feels like this way that your senses can just reset, mm-hmm. just, you know, getting out of that space and everything. So I really, really agree in that one. And one thing is, I mean, the world has experienced such chaos in this last year. We are now faced with the COVID-19 pandemic. How have you find with yourself and also with your clients that the different shift in sort of mentality towards burnout? Because I feel like a lot of people are suffering from it right now because, you know, they're not living their usual system structures, routines, and are sort of just sitting, being very, very still, which makes a lot of people so uncomfortable because that's not our norm in today's society, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely something that has been more prevalent through the pandemic. I think more and more people are experiencing burnout. And just as you said, because their normal routines or their outlets, the spaces that they used for recovery may not be available to them because of the pandemic. So if they haven't taken the opportunity to reflect on that a little bit more and think, okay, so I can't go to the gym that I went to anymore. So how do I rework how I'm moving my body? Is there a way that I can do that at home or be more active outside? Those kinds of things. But I think one of the biggest impacts is the lack of social connection or having to connect differently with people. And so that has definitely caused some fatigue and overwhelm for folks. And those who are even more in isolation are really struggling with maintaining that connection with others.
Yeah, I can only imagine so. And I think so, this might be a very tough question for you to answer, but you seem like someone who just really wants to help people and add so much value, whether that's, you know, to people living in the US or the wider community and the world at large. But if you could define three areas where you want to add the most value, what would that be? I'm so curious to hear.
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I would love to see a world where everyone has the opportunity to reflect on their own burnout cycle and find ways to identify and prepare for their burn events and then recover from them fully so that they're just actively involved in that process, not necessarily in avoidance way, but just actively and consciously being a part of their own recovery process. And I think impacting that in a way, I would love to see more humans come to the experience of working with others from a place of care. I think that that's something that would drastically change how our world functions and how we interact with each other. And then one of the things that I will say just from my experience here in the States is that I really wish that we were more of a collective society. And I think that that ties into that always engaging with another human from the space of care. That's not something that I've experienced it with some people here, but in the pandemic, there has also been a highlight, I think, of individualism. And that has been really disheartening for me to see.
Yeah, I completely agree. I really hope, like, if when people ask me, what do you hope on a global level moving forward? And I hope we just show a little bit more kindness to each other. It is so hard right now. Let's just show a little love and everything. And as you were saying before, especially in that collective sort of framework, I mean, we all learn during school time, you know, tragedy of the commons. We all come together as a collective, and there will always be individuals who ruin it for the greater good of a lot of things. And I really hope that even though there are maybe bad intentions, or, you know, not everyone wants to sort of give another person their kindness, is that we still maintain that. Don't let one ruin it for the rest of us. So I really resonate with that so much. But this has been amazing. I hope everyone really enjoyed it, because I am now so, so inspired by you, and would love to hear, how can people sort of connect with you more and reach out to you and sort of maybe start their own path of recovery from burnout, or just get to know it a little bit more?
Absolutely. The easiest way to connect with me is through social media, and I am at Dr. Kate Steiner on all platforms.
Amazing. And I will definitely link this in the show notes for everyone to be able to connect with her and to just reach out, because it's been so, so great. So thank you so much again, Dr. Kate. I really loved having you on the show.
Thank you, Val. It's been so great being here with you today.
Absolutely. And as always, thank you to all the listeners to listening to the Everything With Val podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, thank you all and have a great week.